Welcome back to the Haven Homestead Podcast, where we learn and grow together on our way to living more sustainable lives. Today's episode is episode 37, and today's episode is all about a question I was asked by Nick, and it is about growing a balanced diet. I asked people what they thought I should talk about, or maybe some suggestions, and I still post that question to you. What are some things that you'd like to hear about? And if we haven't covered it already, then it'll probably make its way onto an episode. So please go to havenhomestead.com. That's www.havenhomestead.com. And on any of the episodes, you can pick your favorite episode. Tell me it's your favorite episode and where you're from and ask a question and I will answer them. Also, please consider becoming our patron at patreon.com/havenhomestead. That's patreon.com/havenhomestead. And I will put all of the URLs in the show notes for all the stuff. I always put the URLs in the show notes for the things I talk about. So if you're ever wondering about what the link is, just go to the show notes on either Spreaker, which is where I post this, or to havenhomestead.com, and you can find the show notes there. Last but definitely not least, a word from our sponsors, Happy Leaf LED.
Vic Zatteray and his team at Happy Leaf LED are changing the way growers think about grow lights. Happy Leaf LED is no joke lighting technology that really works. The lights are affordable, powerful, and efficient. With their Anywhere Anytime garden kits, they'll change the way you think about hydroponics too. For more information on Happy Leaf LED, go to happyleafled.com. You'll be happy you did.
Thank you, Lindsay. I want to also tell you that the greens that we were growing from the kit, the Garden Anywhere Anytime Anywhere garden, Anywhere Anytime garden, are growing amazing. We have already harvested a salad off of it. I think it was only about a month ago that we planted them, and they're doing great. We have some arugula and a couple varieties of lettuce. We also tried to do some spinach, but the spinach wasn't coming up for some reason. We tried it twice and it wasn't coming up for some reason, so we planted some other seeds in there, and we're waiting for those to start sprouting, and then we'll be rocking that one too. But the LED lights that we got from Happy Leaf and the grow kits and all that are just amazing. It's just going great. So I highly suggest you head on out there and check out their stuff at happyleafled.com. So we'll get right into the subject now. It's about growing a balanced diet. Growing a balanced diet. When Nick first asked me this question, I was thinking, growing a balanced diet? Because balanced, I think of, you know, the food pyramid, and some things are very difficult to grow in most situations. So we're going to just go ahead and cover some of the main things that we can do, and you might have to supplement some things you buy at the store, but this is going to really set you on your way to growing a much more balanced, well-rounded, sustainable diet from your homestead, from where you're at. And even if you don't have a lot of acreage, even if you just live in town with a small city lot, you'll be able to do a lot in towards getting more sustainable. After all, that's what we're all about. So the first thing I want to say is fruits and veggies, one of the nice things about them is that you can grow them. I mean, even if you don't have very much room, you can do, like for apples, for instance, the columnar apple is this apple tree that grows on just the trunk. It doesn't really have lateral branches. Sometimes they grow out and you just clip them off, but it grows in a vertical, just the trunk, and then the apples grow off to the sides of it. You can keep it in a pot and move it around. Like if you're going to leave and move to a different apartment, you can take it with you. So that way you're growing your own fruit. I did an episode on growing in the city. If you haven't heard that one, you might want to go check that out. It's one of the first few episodes, maybe episode 12 or somewhere around there. So one so that's one good thing is you can grow them about anywhere as long as you have some space. And with the anywhere anytime garden, all you need is a plug-in and a tabletop, and you can make your little indoor garden that will help you to supplement your balanced diet. They're awesome. Both fruits and vegetables are awesome without any preparation. No cooking, no preparing them in any way. You can eat most fruits and vegetables. Now, some of them, they might need the fruits, the skins taken off, like in citrus, or some of them might need to be cooked or soaked or something like that, washed in order to not get any of the grossies that might be on there. But if you grow them in a holistic way, an organic way, you shouldn't have to worry about there being any nasty things on there. Sometimes the bugs, though, but if you grow the Anytime Anywhere garden, again, you don't have to worry about bugs because it's grown on the tabletop in your house. So you won't be having an infestation of cabbage worms or something like that. Leastwise, you shouldn't. And if you need to, you can always just sanitize it and start over again. They give you these veggies. We're going to get into the vitamins and minerals and stuff, but first, in a little bit later. But I'm just going to go over some more of the benefits. They help with your disease resistance. The vitamin C helps you not get scurvy. Not that that's really an issue anymore, but there are other diseases. It helps you with cancer and helps your cells grow and gives you fiber. Makes your skin soft and hydrated because of eating the fruit has a high moisture content. It helps to rejuvenate your skin and your helps with your hair. Helps vitamins and minerals in the both fruits and vegetables helps with your hair being shiny and strong. Like I said, helps prevent cancer and controlling free radicals and stuff. High in fiber, so it helps your digestion, helps your bowels, helps with your cholesterol. Dietary fiber is awesome, and a lot of fruits and vegetables help with all that sort of stuff. And then they're also mostly easy to preserve. A lot of fruits can just be dried. I mean, nothing's easier than cutting it up and stick it on a dehydrating rack and letting it dry. You can things, you can mix them into a paste and then put them down for fruit leather. Dry them on the th once again, dry them for like fruit leather. It's a tasty and simple way to preserve. Now, some of the vitamins that they contain are vitamins A, D, C, K, B6, B12, E. They have a lot of dietary fiber. They have potassium. They have calcium, magnesium, copper, manganese, niacin, zinc, thiamine, folates, phosphorus, beta carotene. I mean, just tons of things that you need to be healthy. And I like eating fruit better than taking a multivitamin. So if I have the choice, I'd much rather like that. And if you grow it yourself, there's such a feeling of accomplishment when you're able to harvest your fruits and vegetables. I mean, when we would during the summertime, even now, we can cut vegetables and have in a salad, and people are like, "Oh, wow, this is some good salad." And the last salad we had, Lindsay cut them. And they were piled like a regular dinner plate, a big plate. It was piled on there. And these are just from a couple jars. 3 jars is all that grew. And it was piled up on the plate in a month. So, what a sense of accomplishment to be able to do that. And they tasted great. The arugula was spicy. The lettuce was crisp and tasty. It was great. Fruits and vegetables are probably the first thing that you'd think about when you're talking about growing a balanced diet. And I understand that's what, like a homesteading magazines, they usually show a garden, and it's usually full of the cabbages and the broccoli and the corn and potatoes and all that stuff, like but it's important to get protein as well. Protein, fats. There's things like spinach that have a little bit of protein or a little bit of fat in them, and a little bit of cholesterol. I mean, like just a little bit, but it's important to get those in your diet as well for healthy function, healthy organ function and brain function and stuff. So some of the best meats I've found that you can raise and grow your own, and they take a little bit of space, or I mean space conscious, are rabbits. And if you want to learn more about rabbits, I did a whole episode on rabbits, actually a few episodes on rabbits, and chickens, and I did a few episodes on chickens. Now, if you just want to get meat and eggs, quail is another alternative, even though the eggs are a lot smaller, meat is a lot smaller, but they grow really fast and they're easy to keep like in your garage. Now, chickens you couldn't keep in your garage without their, they just need more room. They need more space. And I'm gonna go over the meat properties. Just a couple. I'm just gonna do three for the rabbit. So rabbit is 9 grams of protein per ounce of meat. And I was thinking about like so if when it showed on there, it said for 3 ounces, and then when I was doing the chicken, it was 3.5 ounces, so I had to do some computation to make them similar portion size. So per ounce. And usually, like if you're doing a like a chicken breast and they say it's 100 grams, that's like a 4 ounce piece. It's a 1/4 pound of chicken breast raw. And so I'm going about the same amount, same sort of thing with a rabbit, but I just cut it all down. I put it down to 1 ounce. So it's very small, but you can get an idea. Apples to apples is my intention here. So with rabbit, there's 9 grams of protein per ounce, 1 gram of fat per ounce, so it's very lean, and 91% of your B12, of your recommended daily allowance of B12 in I think that was in 3 grams of it, or 3 ounces or something. But still, it there is a lot of your recommended daily allowance of B12 in rabbit meat, which I didn't know that it was high in B12. That was something interesting that I learned here. Now with chickens, they have 6 grams of protein per ounce. And this is in skinless, boneless chicken breast. Raw, of course. 6 grams of protein per ounce. And I found differing information, but about 3/4 of a gram of fat per ounce. So it's a little bit, it's about 1/4 gram less fat per ounce of meat than rabbit. But B vitamins was really low, like 10% or 15% or something like that. So I just wanted to bring that up. And I have a little page here that talks about the real other white meat, rabbit, of course. And he just says a couple things here that rabbit has the lowest cholesterol value of any meat product compared to the next two lowest, chicken and pork. With a value of 230 milligrams per serving, rabbit has a mere 164 milligrams of cholesterol. So that's cool. Rabbit's the lowest calorie meat per serving at 795 calories per pound versus 810 for chicken, 840 for veal, 1190 for turkey, and 1440 for beef. Pork weighs in at a whopping 2050 calories per pound. Rabbit meat is the highest in protein compared to chicken, fish, lamb, pork, and even beef. Rabbit meat is highly digestible and recommended by the USDA for children and the elderly. USDA also proclaims rabbit meat the most nutritious meat known to man. Now that that they put the USDA also proclaims this, kind of makes me doubt it more than if they hadn't have put USDA on there. I'm just distrustful of the government, I guess. And it tastes good. And rabbit meat is really mild flavored. So you don't have to worry about it overpowering like a mutton or sometimes venison or other wild meats like that. And wild rabbits, as far as I know, taste just like domesticated rabbit. I've had wild rabbit before and it tasted fine. Domesticated rabbit tastes good too. So in your balanced diet, it's important. I feel that it is important to have some meat. Now, people are going to argue that you don't need meat. You know, vegan and vegetarians are going to argue, but I think that if you're going to raise all your food, or you know, try to raise a balanced diet and not have access to outside, you know, tofu. I can't grow tofu. I can't grow soybeans here, as far as I know. I'm not very interested in it, but there are a lot of things that I can't do here, and you might not be able to do where you live either. Another thing about having chickens, so if you're going to have chickens, I was looking at natural versus commercial eggs and their nutritional value. Now, chickens are not vegetarians. I have chicken egg cartons that people have given to me that says vegetarian based only or something like that. Now, chickens are not vegetarians. They are omnivores. They're not herbivores. They don't just want grains and it's like when you turn a chicken, the chickens loose, they go after worms and bugs and seeds and grass and everything that looks like food to them. That is important for a healthy egg, for them to have all the things that they need, not just vegetarian because it makes you feel better about what they're eating. They naturally should eat what they need. So natural eggs have 2 to 10 times, it's kind of hard to wrap your head around, 2 to 10 times more omega-3 than store-bought eggs. That's a lot, and that's a very beneficial fatty acid. So 2 times the vitamin E, which helps repair your skin, and 3 to 6 times the vitamin D. Isn't that just, that is just amazing to me, the difference in commercial eggs, you know, the chickens that are fed the regular commercial feed, they're in a cage, they're getting fed their vitamin D rather than out in the sun soaking it in. I've had lots of guests come here and they've all told me that our honey was really good, our eggs were really good. You know, if those that had rabbit here really liked it. And so in Nick's question, he says something along the lines of, could you tell us about how to raise a balanced diet, grow a balanced diet? And I think that this is really the way to do it. Permaculture, look into permaculture. You have your plant systems and animal systems, and it will really set you on the right path to growing your balanced diet. You get your fruits, you get your veggies, you get your meat, you get your eggs, you can get your root vegetables like your potatoes for starch, you can raise corn for your grain needs. If you can't raise wheat, because we're not really have very good climate. I mean, I guess people do raise wheat and barley and oats, but we often have wet summers, which will ruin them. However, the corn seems to do just fine. So you can raise your grains. You can raise all these things. And if you don't want to eat some of the stuff, if you want to just raise it for animal food, then that works as well. And if you want to get your dairy into there, then you can also get a dairy goat or a dairy cow. I've been thinking of getting a dairy cow, but it's harder and harder nowadays to find someone to watch your cow for you while you go out on vacation. Goats, you can find people that'll still milk a goat because you only get, you know, a quart or 2 quarts out of a goat per milking. But with a cow, I mean, you might get a couple gallons per milking. So that's a lot of milk to try to get rid of. I was thinking about the other day, I was thinking, man, we go through like, you know, 1 gallon of milk a week. I don't know how we do with all the, you know, up to 5 gallons a day. It's just more than I think that we can handle. But maybe we'll get a goat, start with that, get into the habit, and then maybe get a milking cow. Lindsay would like a miniature cow, she says. But I think she likes the idea of the miniature cow more than actually probably having a miniature cow. So just things to think about. All the things that you need, you can grow. So get to it. get growing that balanced diet. If you have any questions, please, please email me, or you can find our email. That's fine. Email me at find our information on the contact us portion at our website, which is again www.havenhomestead.com. Well, it's been another episode of the Haven Homestead Podcast, where we learn and grow together on our way to living more sustainable lives. Thanks for listening.